50-minute mark on the fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19, Peters Township. Fan weather, it'll be in the low 60s for Pitt Duquesne Saturday. That weather update is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. We have breaking news. It's from Ian Rappaport.
Holy crap, dude.
I can't even get the words out. The Packers are trading for Micah Parsons.
Holy crap. Well, guess I'll wipe from the record me saying there's no one who will convince me this ends any other way but him playing for the Cowboys. 4 years, $188 million, $136 million guaranteed, $47 million per year, which shatters and resets the market.
And the Cowboys get 2 first-round picks in the deal. So let's do the math here. $188 million divided by 4, that's $47 million a year.
Yes.
So, I mean, that blows past.
Yeah. I said it resets and shatters and resets the defensive player market, period.
That's
easily the highest paid non-QB in history.
That's $6 million more per year.
I mean, that's a massive reset. When was the last time you had a massive market reset like this? The Watson deal was an outlier. It didn't reset the market for quarterbacks.
I think Green Bay, the reason why they would do something like this, now that I think about it, is they get to make decisions. They get to make decisions that are purely football-based because they don't have an owner to answer to. So this whole idea that, like we talked about with Deshaun Watson, how the owners colluded together because they didn't want to give out fully guaranteed contracts.
Yeah.
That's 31 owners and then Green Bay. Mm-hmm. Green Bay bases everything on does it make football sense for us? It's why, I don't know if fans know this, but the most coveted job in football is the Packers job. Mm-hmm. Because you really run it the way you want to. You don't have to worry about an owner
looking
interfering
over your
and telling
shoulder,
you what to do.
Telling you what, yeah, exactly. There's no ego that you have to answer to.
I've got cashews stuck in my throat.
Bad timing.
I know. So the fact that I should have thought about this, but their conservative nature historically as an organization made me feel like this was a non-starter. They've gone completely rogue and outside their comfort zone historically with this deal. If you look at their team, their whole entire defensive line is first-round picks before this trade. Mm-hmm. Like, that's one of the things that got Aaron Rodgers so frustrated with the way they were doing things in Green Bay.
Yep.
They kept, up until Matthew Golden in the first round, go look at the history of first-round picks. It's all defensive guys. And Kenny Clark's not a bad player. They took Van Ness, who was a Steelers
Rashawn Gary, guy. Van Ness, Quay Walker's a linebacker, but he was a first. Yeah,
but none of those guys have amounted or turned into star players. They don't have a star on defense. Now they do. Halfley, who worked for Wani at Pitt for all those years and was Boston College's head coach, quit coaching college football because he thought that, you know, he wasn't going to win at BC given the state of college football. He was right. And went back to the NFL, calls the defensive shots there. Now he's got a huge difference maker.
It's one of the biggest trades I can remember in NFL recent NFL history.
I got to be honest with you. I'm a little bit surprised that he only netted 2 first-round picks. Now, you have to turn around and give him this monster contract.
Don't we figure that that's part of that is you paid him $6 million more than anybody else at his position and totally reset the market? For pretty much all defensive players, but I mean, we know edge rushers make more than any other defensive player. I would imagine that explains the 2 firsts. Also, if you're the Cowboys here, the first thing I think of from their end is, okay, this wasn't just Jerry bluster and smoke and everything else. You're probably, if the Packers are good, like they I'm sure think they're going to be, you're probably getting at least one of them is going to be a late first.
They've made the playoffs every year. Jordan Love has been the starting quarterback. They won a playoff game 2 years ago.
They went 11-6 last year. Okay? So, what are you probably getting? 2 picks in the 20s, if history is any indication. Somewhere in the mid to possibly late 20s if they have a good year.
Man, not that it wasn't already the juiciest matchup on the board in the NFL this year. But how about Steelers versus Packers now? You've got Aaron Rodgers playing his ex-team for the first time.
And Micah Parsons
and maybe the
is
only
on the
time.
Side.
And now Micah Parsons
and
is Broderick the guy coming
Jones
after him.
And Broderick Jones is going to stonewall him yeah, okay. and just iron things out on that left side. You're not even 11 in green and gold. You aren't even going to see him because Broderick Jones is going to silence him.
The Steelers, the line moved. The Steelers are an underdog in that game now against Green Bay.
What was it before?
It was a pick, and now they're a two-point dog.
Not many guys who aren't quarterbacks can move a line like that. Green Bay is in
that,
Dallas,
Donnie.
Too. Good work, Don, to point that out. That actually is the game of the year, Pony.
You know what they're going to say about this now, 100%. The Packers are going to say, well, we did this with Reggie White. God told them to come to Green Bay. We won a Super Bowl. We're looking at Micah Parsons as our Reggie White 2.0. And the Cowboys just continue to be one of the laughingstock franchises in
the
NFL.
So the day that the Steelers are in Dublin playing the Vikings, when everyone assumed they would be playing the Packers on Sunday night are going to be playing the Cowboys in Dallas in what – how long has Sunday Night Football been on NBC?
20 years.
20 years they've had it for that long? Will there be a more hyped game just because it's Dallas, it's this situation than that? Other than if Parsons were to, like, tweak an ankle somehow and not play.
The ratings for the Cowboys-Packers on Sunday Night Football and the Steelers-Packers on Sunday Night Football are going to be astronomical.
Which I think the Dallas game will do bigger numbers, I suspect.
Maybe.
It's also going to happen first. It's going to be the first of the two to actually take place. Plus, like, I understand that it's Rodgers versus his former team. I get that. Jerry Jones casts an enormous shadow.
Yeah.
And also, this game will be played in Dallas, and so the weather will be good there. I mean, do you not? They're going to have like a split. Because Jerry likes to be on the field, like a lot of owners do, before games. They're going to have like a camera on him, a camera on Parsons. How do you think the crowd responds to Parsons? Boo, like merciless boos?
Because Cowboys fans are just loyal to the hilt and usually irrational, weird people.
But I would say this, that's more of a franchise that I associate with the fans siding with the players because it's like a star-laden Hollywood-style franchise. I do think that fan base, far because it's also like LeBron's a Cowboys fan unless he decides to be a Browns fan on a given day. When it's convenient for him. Cowboys fans are Yankees fans, are Lakers fans, are Duke fans. I actually think he will get more of a sympathetic reaction than at least some people might think, because here's what they'll say. They'll say, wait a minute, Jerry, you gave Prescott his deal. You gave CeeDee Lamb big money. There is an argument to be made, definitely in the case of Prescott, that Parsons is better at what he does than Prescott is at what he does.
Yeah.
And he and Lamb are very comparable within their respective worlds. I could see Cowboys fans saying, what the hell, man? And also, you didn't trade him to a bad team. You traded him to a team where the first-round picks we're going to get are probably more muted as far as their potential impact. So you'll
appreciate this. My buddy sent this to me a couple weeks ago, right up your alley. All right. Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service. We're still reacting to this Micah Parsons trade. Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We're going to talk to Ray Fittipaldo. He's sponsored by LGKG, the born and raised Western PA injury attorneys who take your personal injury cases personally. Information trickling in here. Ian Rappaport saying that Kenny Clark is headed to the Cowboys in this deal. So it's two firsts, Kenny Clark. I also saw a graphic that had Lucas Van Ness's name in it, but I don't think that's accurate. So,
was that from Sports Talk Barry or somebody like
it
that?
It was not.
So no, it also seems like it's $136 million guaranteed. 120 fully guaranteed at signing, and $47 million per. That's SpotTrack breaking it down. So there's even extra numbers on the guarantees. I will play my favorite hit here briefly, Pony. When you get this many specific numbers, that's the agent wanting to make sure every minute detail of the deal they just worked out is done.
Yeah. All right, Ray Fittipaldo with us. Ray, if you could break down this trade from a Steelers perspective as someone that covers the Steelers and what Pittsburgh might think of this trade, what would it be?
Man, I mean, blockbuster. I mean, there were people as little as a month ago who wanted the Steelers to do like a Watt trade, you know, something along these lines. But, leave it to Jerry Jones. I mean, this is a blockbuster, man. You don't see many trades like this in the NFL, guys. And, I was doing some research for a story I'm working on you know, it's similar. It's how often do star quarterbacks go back and play their former team the year after they leave? And it just doesn't happen very often. I can only find three other instances in NFL history where a Hall of Fame quarterback, and, you know, this is the assumption that Rodgers, of course, is going to get into the Hall of Fame, but in only three other instances has a Hall of Fame quarterback gone back to play his former team the year after he left. So it's, I love these storylines. The Steelers and the Jets are playing in week one for a reason. And I think you guys know this would have been a primetime game if Rodgers had made his decision a month or so earlier. So it's setting up as a marquee matchup here in week one.
Ray, just looking at the Parsons deal too, it takes a game that was, I believe, a pick'em for the Steelers and Packers beforehand, and now I think, Pony, what did you say the line moved? 2 points in the Packers' favor now.
Yeah.
That the real tangible impact for me here too is just saying a game that you might have viewed as a coin flip now gets demonstrably harder to win because one of the absolute best players in the league, regardless of position, will be on the other side of that field in that game.
Yeah, I mean, I love it from the Packers' perspective. That tells me they're going for it. They think Jordan Love is the guy. And, you know, the interesting thing about that contract, and you guys quoted SpotTrack's numbers on that, I assume they're correct. He got $12 million more in guaranteed money than TJ got. So we all knew the number was going to be higher. You know, $108 million for TJ in full guarantees, and now he gets $120 million. So we're inching closer, you know, to star players in the NFL almost getting fully guaranteed contracts. And, you know, Parsons is pretty darn close there. So good for the players. You know, they've been pushing for this. Every other major sport has guaranteed contracts. And, you know, Parsons, you know, other than Deshaun Watson, Parsons is getting as close as I think anyone can get.
Ray, you said this is rare to have a trade like this. It's also happening a week from the start of the NFL season. The Cowboys are going to play the Eagles at this time next week. How about the Steelers roster? Do you think what we see now is the team they're going to take to New York a week from Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, it's getting pretty late, guys. If they were going to make a big move, you know, nothing approaching what we saw today, but if they were going to go get someone of note, I think it probably would have been done by now. So I'm not saying they won't add a depth receiver, you know, a guy like, you know, Scantling or somebody like that. I wouldn't consider that a huge move, but it seems to me that the longer this goes on, I think what it tells us is they do have confidence in Calvin Austin. They do have confidence in Roman Wilson, and they're willing to go into the season and at least see if these guys can produce. And if they don't, you always have the trade deadline to go out there and maybe make another move. You know, you could always sign guys off the street if those guys struggle. But for the time being, it certainly seems like Calvin Austin and Roman Wilson are going to duke it out to see who could be 2-3, you know, 3-4 in the receiving pecking order.
I'll ask again, though, Ray, how often do you even expect it to shake out like that on a given offensive series where it's Metcalf and then an actual wide receiver as the second option versus one of the tight ends they have?
Well, you're right about that. I mean, we're going to see a ton of Smith and Freiermuth on the field at the same time. You'll almost always have a second receiver on the field, so it's just going to depend on the situation. I mean, the thing about Arthur Smith's offense, guys, if they want to run the ball, you're going to see Ben Skowronek out there as the second receiver on a lot of these occasions. And you'll see Wilson and you'll see Austin. They don't want to be predictable. You know, they are going to throw the ball a lot with Aaron Rodgers. But the point is, and I think this was your point, Chris, Pat Freiermuth and Jonnu Smith really are going to be the second and third receivers. And I think Wilson and Austin are going to get their fair share, but I don't think it's going to be anything approaching like what other number two receivers or even number three receivers get in terms of targets around the league.
Ray, what's going on with Will Howard? We had Hathorn on yesterday, and he said to us the way they did this made him think it's possible. He didn't say it would happen, but Jeff said he thinks it's possible Howard ends up spending the entire year on injured reserve. What do you think is going to go down there?
I agree with Jeff. I definitely think it's a possibility. And, you know, I've written about this, but I feel like I have to explain it to fans because it's a relatively new rule. Before they set the 53-man rosters, you could have put players on IR with a designation to return. Now, the Steelers did that with Corey Trice. So Corey Trice is going to come back to the roster when he is healthy. When you put a guy on IR after the 53-man is set, you don't have to put a designation to return on him. Now, they could do that with Howard at any point, but there's no obligation to do that. So they could put him on the shelf for the entire season, like they did with Logan Lee last year. They've done it in the past. It's just a way to stash rookies, and to get them a year of service. They're in the building, they're on the team, but they're not practicing with the rest of the guys.
I mean, how much do they feel though that might inhibit his development to whatever end they think he fits into their future, Ray?
Yeah, I mean, I get it, but there's also a football season to be played, and they could not evaluate Will Howard in any of the preseason games, and I think that's a huge thing for coaches when it comes to rookies. Listen, Will Howard was a sixth-round pick. There's no guarantees that if you bring him back as a number three quarterback that he's going to be better than Skylar Thompson, and I think the Steelers coaches realize that. And there's also the factor of you want somebody with experience and someone that you evaluated in that position in case you do have to break that glass in case of an emergency like we saw back in 2019. So I think Jeff was right. I've thought that all along, and it's just the way the Steelers operate, and I think it's the way a lot of teams would operate in that situation. You're not just going to put a rookie in a position, in an important position on the roster, without him practicing or playing in the preseason.
Ray, what is your official Steelers win-loss record prediction for 2025?
I'm going to be boring. I think this is probably what I said way back when the schedule came out. I'm going to go 10-7. I think they sneak into the playoffs, but likely as a wild card.
And do you have them winning their first playoff game since 2016?
I mean, obviously it's going to depend on the matchup. But, I think if Rodgers is healthy, this will be their best shot to win a playoff game since 2016. For a lot of those years, it was Ben at the end. You know, what happened in recent years with the revolving door quarterback. I think this is the reason they went out and got Rodgers, to win the playoffs. And I'll say yes if Rodgers is healthy at the end of the year.
All right, so follow-up question that I've asked everyone who's answered that question that exact way. If they win a playoff game and win 10 games, do you think Aaron Rodgers will be back with the Steelers in 2026?
I mean, that's an interesting question. I mean, they're probably going to still draft a quarterback, number one, but there's no role that guy has to play early. I mean, organizations have different philosophies on bringing those guys along. Now the frame of reference with the Steelers is Ben, but Ben only played because Tommy Maddox got hurt. I would think the Steelers would want to be conservative there and bring that quarterback along slowly. So, yeah, certainly I could see a guy like Rodgers coming back. I know he's left the door open, but let's see how the season plays out, and I certainly wouldn't rule that out at this point.
All right. Thank you so much, Ray. We'll talk again next week.
All right. Thanks, guys. See you.
There you go. Ray Fittipaldo. I mean, maybe I should have asked him a follow-up, but the Ben Skowronek answer is still stuck in my head. He thinks that Ben Skowronek, based on their run-first mentality, could be their number two wide receiver.
I know. I didn't like fully process something like twitched and glitched out in my brain, but so you're just going to have that guy out there getting a lot of snaps, just cracking down blocking.
Oh, Kabali's going to be a pig in bleep with that if it goes that direction. You know that.
I mean, I guess this would be
every
the
team
ultimate,
needs a Skowronek to win a Super Bowl.
This would
he said.
Be the ultimate zig when everyone else zags. We're going to have Ben Skowronek as wide receiver too because he's going to knock you on your ass.
The win total in Vegas and here at the Rivers Casino Sportsbook for the Steelers is 8.5 this year. Every single one of our experts, insiders, and hosts who have made a prediction on the record have picked the Steelers to win at least 10 games.
Really?
Yep. And the win total's 8.5 here. Batco, 10. Farabaugh, 10. Bostic, 11. Mackey, 11. Fittipaldo, 10. Pomp, 10. Mulsey, 10.
Mm-hmm. Paul in Washington, 5.
Yeah, Paul in Washington, 5, and said Tomlin fired at the end of the year.
Charlie Borges, just 8-9.
Yeah.
That's all we have from Charlie, just 8-9.
But he generally, like, expects the really bad things to happen for people and teams and whatnot.
He's a plan for the worst, hope for the best guy.
Yeah. Need a spot to park for the Savannah Bananas game this weekend? Try the garage at Nova Place. Nova Place just steps from PNC Park, short walk to Acrisure Stadium, located along South Commons. Prepay and reserve your parking at Nova Place Garage on ParkWiz. The best part is an easy exit in any direction after your event without getting stuck in traffic near the stadiums. Plus, they offer hassle-free mobile payment to avoid any lines or delays while exiting the garage. Nova Place offers parking for all events on the North Shore, sports events, concerts, and more. We'll be down there tomorrow for the Bananas game. Mulsey and I over at Mike's Beer Bar. Okay, so total request Thursday will be more of the Micah Parsons talk because even though that was not up for voting, the feedback we're getting is that more people want to hear about what happened. Ben DiNucci, the former Cowboys backup and Pine Richland product who also had a cup of coffee at Pitt, is mocking his old team saying, "Enjoy the season, Cowboys fans." So they've got that going for them. We've also seen a change in the odds here at the Rivers Casino Sportsbook where Green Bay, with this trade, they bring in one player. They also trade Kenny Clark, who's not a bad player, to Dallas in this deal along with two firsts. Their odds have spiked. They are now the favorites in the NFC North. They have passed the Lions with one trade.
I mean, Parsons is a needle-moving player.
No doubt.
And so I can He's one of the very few individual players who's not a quarterback where I don't think that's crazy. I saw Greg Rosenthal, who watches a lot of tape, say, home run deal for the Packers, Micah Parsons is the best pure pass rusher to come into the league in the last 20 years. That's what he said. He said, if you're going to do a deal, you do it for a guy like that, in my estimation.
Has he not watched T.J. Watt?
I think, Pony, outside of this city, most people consider of Watt, Garrett, Parsons, Watt a third-place guy of those three.
Donnie, are you convinced Parsons better than Watt?
I do like his versatility. Like, he seems to be able to just do everything. Like, pure pass rusher, I think I'd go Watt. But Parsons is a dude that can line up, like, all over the place. And he does it all the time.
He's also younger, so if you're making this calculation.
Well, that's a different that's different.
Yeah, but in practical terms, if you're saying, do you think he's better, you're also kind of implying who's going to be better this year and moving forward. And I think I'd bet on the next, let's say, 3 years of Micah Parsons over the next 3 years
yeah,
of T.J.
Watt. Yeah, but if you apply that standard, you might pick Jaden Daniels over Patrick Mahomes. Because Daniels went to the NFC Championship
Mahomes
game in his rookie
year. I think
Mahomes
is still so good that I think that that's almost a push.
Well, still, though, to say that it's a push is
I think Daniels is going to be really good.
The Packers' Super Bowl odds with this trade jumped all the way up to 12-1. The Cowboys' Super Bowl odds have plummeted all the way down to 60-1 with this deal. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 teams. That's more than half the league have better Super Bowl odds than the Steelers. Would you guys like to try to name them?
More than half the league has better Super Bowl
17
odds?
17 teams.
Yeah, I'll do it. Donnie, would you like to alternate with me here so that we can make this a team exercise?
Sure.
Better odds. Buffalo Bills.
Yep.
Philadelphia Eagles.
Washington Commanders.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore Ravens.
Yes, sir.
Detroit Lions.
Yep.
The Bengals, I believe, have better odds.
They do.
Green Bay Packers.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a free space. I'll add another one, Don. Minnesota Vikings.
That's 8.
Oh, what are the Vikings at?
The Vikings went down with this trade. They are down to 22-1.
The Rams.
Yes.
Tampa Bay.
Yep.
San Francisco 49ers.
19-1.
Kansas City Chiefs.
They are 8-1.
The Denver Broncos.
Hold on. That's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12.
Who do we appreciate?
You said Denver, Donnie?
Yes.
That's right. 22-1. 13. You need four more.
I still think the Chargers got to have better odds.
They do. 27-1.
This is one that might be right around that same spot. Do the Patriots have better odds?
They do not. The Patriots are at 80-1.
I'm going to presume that the Texans have better odds.
They do. So Donnie is out because he got one wrong. Malzy, you keep going.
How many do I have?
You need to get one, two, three more. There's 18 teams
that have better Super Bowl odds.
Yep. Oh, wait. Two more. 17 teams. I forgot you guys named Tampa. Two more.
I'm actually going to say Seattle.
Nope. You're out. Here are the other two. Chicago. The whole entire NFC North has better odds.
Should have picked them. Stupid.
And this is one that just blows my mind. Arizona.
Okay.
Arizona's 40-1 and the Steelers are 50-1.
Man, I don't see that. I'm not a Kyler believer, so that's why I don't see that.
When the calendar turns to November, he turns into a pumpkin. He's terrible.
Which is odd because Halloween's on October 31st, Chalooch.
All right. I'm going to name one of those teams. I'm going to name one of those teams, and you tell me if you can even debate that the Steelers will have a better season. Buffalo, no.
No.
Eagles, no. You guys are convinced Ravens, no.
So are you. You think that they're better.
Not by as much as you guys, though.
Because I think you're just doing kind of your anti-Lamar bit, which is fine.
Chiefs, no.
No.
Lions.
No.
No.
I feel pretty good about the Lions still. I think they're going to...
Donnie, you want to offer
dissenting
vote there?
They got a little work to do, but I think they're going to be fine.
You think Steelers could be better than Lions?
I think they could be on a similar level because we're just in the unknown with both coordinators.
Time out. Hold on. I need this. Are we talking about strictly better record than, or like, the Lions, let me put it this way, could be 10-7 and the Steelers could be 10-7.
No, who gets eliminated first? Steelers or Lions? Like who?
Steelers.
Yeah, okay. Packers now?
Packers are better.
Don?
Yeah, they're better.
How about the Niners?
I'm not entirely sold just because they are so... It seems that every year...
And you're a Purdy guy.
I know, but they're beset by injuries. I'm just saying that they're such a... And Ayuk's already, you know, obviously not going to play for the first several games.
I like Pearsall a lot, though.
I like Pearsall, too. I have him on at least one Dynasty Fantasy team.
Congratulations on all your success.
I just think that they feel like a now-or-never team where they got to get it going and stay healthy this year because eventually some of those guys are going to age out, and it's just going to be tough. You know what? Gun to my head, I would say that they're going to be better than the Steelers.
They have the easiest schedule in the NFL
They're going to be better than the Steelers.
I'd say Niners are better. How about the Commanders, Donnie?
I do think they're better. I could see them taking a step back, but I still think they're probably a better team.
I think this move, though, helps them a little bit today because, man, it makes Dallas – it makes it much more gettable. Now, they have to see the Packers in week two, so, like, that, you know, out of the frying pan into the fire. But I think it makes it a much greater likelihood, Donnie, that they go 4-0 against the Giants and the Cowboys. So I think they're going to be better.
How about the Denver Broncos?
I'm pretty bullish, man.
Really?
I am. You're
a Bo Nix guy now.
I'm bullish.
I think their defense might be the best in football.
Their defense, I think, is better than the Steelers, even though the names aren't there like the Steelers have. And I have to – Pony, this is something I try to do to humanize myself to an audience that often finds me to be a nose-in-the-air, arrogant person.
We did go to Penn State.
I have to eat humble pie about Sean Payton. I thought that was a match made in hell and that he could not possibly – get Bo Nix and turn him into a good pro quarterback, but I think that's exactly what he did last year right off the jump. Bo Nix, after the first three games of that season where they went 1-2, the numbers are pretty staggering how good he was.
So I'm less convinced than you guys are on the Broncos. How about the Bengals?
I think they're going to be good.
I think so, too. I think Donnie disagrees with us on that.
I just still think, even with Hendrickson there, that I think the defense is just such a weakness.
Donnie, The thing is, though, you know who they got at quarterback, right?
Yes. Who would you rather
Burrow
will probably lead the league in passing.
I would agree.
He's going to throw for like 5,000 yards.
I think there's going to be kind of an interesting debate by the end of this year where people are probably going to end up saying, even if they don't win at all, I think Burrow could be good enough where people say, is he just the best quarterback in the league even though he hasn't won a Super Bowl yet?
Are the Vikings better than the Steelers?
Boy, that's a big projection. You know what? You know why I'm going to say yes?
I'm not sure about that.
I believe in the head coach, and they got Brian Flores running that defense.
But I'm not sold that they're better. Are the Rams better?
I can't say that in good conscience. You know why?
Because Matthew
Stafford's status. At any point, Matthew Stafford could go, my back!
I'm going to say yes because I just feel like McVay is a miracle worker with quarterbacks, and whoever they plug in will be good. How about Tampa, Donnie? Are they better than the Steelers?
Yeah, I like Tampa a lot. I mean, I think Baker is probably like a top 8 to 10 quarterback.
Haven't we all?
They have an insane receiver room.
Yes, they do. Yes,
and
they do.
They have, I think they have an underrated defense. I don't think it's great, but I think they have a pretty good defense.
I mean, haven't we all sort of come around and become Baker backers here on this show? One degree or another.
In hindsight, that was their big miss, the Steelers.
Could have grabbed him.
They could have signed Trubisky and Mayfield and said, all right, the best man's going to win the job.
Done a real competition.
Not drafted Kenny. Mm-hmm. And had it be, and they could have afforded both and had it and set up Baker versus Trubisky. And
which Baker would have won.
And Tomlin Tomlin saw Baker a ton.
Oh, I think Tomlin doesn't like Baker because he feels like he kind of...
His attitude.
Yeah, like offended the Steelers. Isn't that still like hypothesized as a reason they didn't go after Tyler Boyd?
I don't think anybody wants Tyler Boyd now, but
like when they had chances in the past, maybe, to go and try to acquire him, that Tomlin didn't like the idea that he said the Steelers quit in a game.
Do you think the Chargers are better?
I believe more in the quarterback and the coach there. I know the Steelers beat them last year, but I think that's a team on the rise still, and I'm going to try to be consistent.
Left tackle's out for the year.
I know.
I don't know about that one. I'm not as convinced as you. How about Houston, Don?
I think that's another team that's taking a step back.
Me too.
They cut ties with Slowick. I know who you had somebody on either on your FanDuel show, Pony, that said that they seem pretty high on the new OC in Houston.
Yes.
I still like Stroud. I think Stroud is a good player, but they're not convincing to me.
They're not
any sort of slam dunk, like, oh, they're going to win
13
games.
Well, here's the flip side. Donnie, here's the flip side of that coin. I think that's a compelling case to be made against them. I think Jacksonville could slot right in there in their place.
Interesting.